Greetings again, everyone. At this time, I would like you to open your Bible, Proverbs chapter 8. While you're turning there, there's one important announcement I forgot to mention. Not in the bulletin. Today is our turn to minister to the young men at the Juvenile Correction Center, JCC. They'll be praying for our folks that will be ministering to them. Pray that God will anoint and bless the word that will be taught. And when they go out in their breakout section to give each person that goes to minister to these young men wisdom to answer their questions, always pointing them back to the authority of the word, to the greatness and only answer found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And be sure to be praying for them. Proverbs chapter 8. This morning we'll be doing verses 1 through 11. Follow along as I read. Let not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gate at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple one, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness, nothing crooked or perverse in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and acknowledge and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that one may desire cannot be compared with her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, be with us this morning as we look at the preciousness and the greatness and the majesty of wisdom. And Lord, may we realize that wisdom is everywhere, calling and crying out for us to heed and respond and listen and to follow her path and her ways, which will always lead in the way of rightness and the way of holiness and to you and always grounded in a life that we are intended to live with a God awareness, knowing that we answer to a creator and to live a life that brings honor and glory to the creator. Father, as we hear these words, listen to the exposition this morning, may we examine our hearts. Are we truly seeking, listening, responding to wisdom's call? Oh, Father, we pray and ask that you be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. By way of introduction, here in Proverbs 8, we have the contrast between Lady Wisdom and the adulteress of the previous chapter. Brute Walkie said this in opening up his commentary of Proverbs 8. Quote, the adulterers move stealthily in dust and speak deceitfully. Wisdom moves publicly and speak truthfully. The adulteress leads her victim to slavery and death. Wisdom leads her disciple to kingship, wealth, and life. The uncommitted youth needs to make a critical decision to love wisdom before she enters the danger-laden city. Wisdom trumpets her words, virtue, and rewards, then she had a hard sell against the adulteress' sweet talk and sexual excitement. The adulteress pitches her pleasure, which ends in death. Wisdom demands discipline, which ends in life. And one more opening comment from John Kitchen, who opened these words by saying, this call of Lady Wisdom is in stark contrast to the verbal enticement of the adulteress. The immoral woman as for the love of the young man, but the end was death. The woman wisdom also called for the love of the naive, but the end of walking with her is life. The woman in chapter 7 is a woman of immoral character, while the woman wisdom is virtuous. The harlot is the liar, while wisdom is full of truth. So if you notice at the top of the outline, I have entitled this message simply, Listen to Wisdom! Exclamation point. Wisdom is calling. Wisdom is crying out. We have no excuse for not getting it, wanting it, desiring it, and finding it, and seeking it until we secure it. In point number one, it said, Wisdom cries out to be heard. In verses 1 through 5, let's look at verse 1 for a moment. It said then, Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? What we have here, if you were with us from the very beginning of this series in the book of Proverbs, we're kind of coming back to a repeat of what was at the end of chapter 1 of wisdom crying out and wisdom crying out. Though they are similar in that passage of chapter 1 and in our passage this morning, their settings, their addresses, those they are being addressed to, and the vocabulary, they also are the same and similar. But in Proverbs 1, she denounces the fool for dismissing her. That's the most important thing. Crying out, and the fool and the naive and the simpleton and the scorner said, Nah, don't need it, dismissed it. And we know their end that happened after that. Whereas in Proverbs 8, she wants to win them over to listen to her. So in here, they're not the chastisement and dealing with the fact of dismissing her, but crying out and crying out and crying out. So again, verse 1, Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? Which is a rhetorical question that emphatically inserts that wisdom widely proclaims her message, not passively waiting for an audience to come to her. Wisdom is crying out. Understanding is lifting up her voice. Wisdom cries out in the open. Doesn't do what the adulterer does, lurking in the darkness and secret. We must not miss the fact what is being stated here clearly, that wisdom is ever speaking, ever calling, seeking, inviting, and demanding our attention. God is not silent. If you have a desire to seek God, know God, and know the Creator, He can be found, but you must seek Him. But you also must heed Him where He is found. Clearly, at our scripture reading right now for the month in Hebrews, He is certainly speaking through His Son, speaking through His Word. I like what John Kitchen said. He did, quote, He called us in creation, in Christ, by the Spirit, through the Word of God, through our conscience, and in His providence. Our failure and foolishness is not for the lack of His voice, but for the lack of our listening. The reason why we lose our way and lose the path of the way of wisdom is because we're not listening. Too often we have our own ideas going on and it kind of dulls the hearing from listening. So clearly it said, He is crying out. Next we see in verses 2 and 3, wisdom uses several phrases to describe the public and prominent locations of her speech. Verse 1, 2 and 3, she takes her stand at the top of the high hill. Besides the way where the paths meet, she cries out by the gate at the entry of the city and the entrance of the door. We are not required to cluster ourselves in a way, in some kind of a monastic setting to, so to speak, get alone and away from people and away from the hustle and bustle of life to hear God's still small voice of wisdom. He is crying out where we are. These verses here show that wisdom is not only useful, but can be found in the busy rush of the world's activity. Notice the language here. It says in verse 2, she takes her stand to declare her message at the top of the high hill. What's the purpose of that? To get maximum visibility and audibility, to be heard and seen. When you're at the high ground giving the message, it is to be seen and heard. Beside the way, it's the idea of where all the masses walk and tread and path is. Where the path meet, it's the idea of where the crossroads of life, where people interact and communicate with each other, and where decisions are made in the cross path of life. This is where Lady Wisdom takes her stand to persuade everyone to pursue her path. Come in my way, follow me, seek my ways. The next verse that talked about, she cries out by the gate, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. By the gate is where people, at that time of antiquity, that's where the people at the gate, with the idea of every city usually had a wall around them to protect from invasion, and they always had the gate where people can go in and out. But it was also at the gate where three major things took place. At the gate is where a lot of times where trading happened. At the gate is where they settled disputes. Usually that's where they did a lot of court cases, as well as they conduct politics there to govern how they're going to run and rule their city. Then he uses the phrase, the entry of the city and the entrance of the door, which I found interesting. When you look at the previous chapter, how the simple one kind of got lost in his way in the dark, giving the impression he's entering into the city, not realizing the danger that lies there of the adulterers lurking to ambush him. Here, Wisdom is crying out at the entry of the city. It's almost like before you enter, before you come through these doors, let me give you some advice. Let me give you some wisdom. The idea here is just outside the city before they face the dangerous temptations within the city. Beloved, wisdom works in the real world. We hear a lot of people, and sometimes even Christians, saying that the Bible is not relevant. It is more relevant than today's paper, which will be old tomorrow, but this book will forever be relevant. And yet, time and time again, when you read and study Proverbs, it is always letting us know that all wisdom will always be in style, so to speak. The ways of God are always contemporary, current, and culturally significant. When you follow the path of wisdom, when you follow the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Holy One, it will always be relevant for your life, no matter where you live and when you live. It helped and took care of our brothers in the past. It will help us today, and it will help our brothers and sisters in the future. The Bible is extremely clear on that. Verse 4. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. I love that. First, we talked about she's crying out, she's lifting up her voice, and where she does it, where life is, where people are crossing and communicating, the marketplace of ideas are ebbing and flowing and going all around, and everywhere in life, wisdom is crying out, listen to me, I got a way you should take, the path you should follow. Now he's zeroing in on who he's talking to, who should listen. And you'd be surprised the answer. Verse 4 said, everyone. It said, O man, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. Here the call of wisdom is universal. It is to everyone, every place, everywhere. Nobody's exempt. Nobody is not in the need of her wisdom. It is a call out to humanity, to every man and woman, to every boy and girl. Listen to me. Heed my voice. Follow my way. The idea, what I love in these words, in the simple, generic, general sense of them, it is not to the elite and the educated, but to the lowly and the common person everywhere as well. One commentator said it this way, there is not a person who does not desperately need the wisdom of God. There is no one who can say, well, I don't really need that advice. We desperately need what God has to say to get through this life in a way that honors Him and blesses us in the process. But though He is making this appeal universally, though He's making this appeal to everyone, everywhere, at every place, He is zeroing in on a specific group of people. Notice the very next verse in verse 5. Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be an understanding of an understanding heart. Here we got the repeat of the fools. If you remember at the start of the series, we realized there are four different fools in the book of Proverbs. Two of them are mentioned right here. He is zeroing in on the simple one. The simple one is the one who is a naive person, who is ignorant and uncommitted. They have not made a decision to rebel against wisdom, but they haven't made a commitment to follow wisdom yet either. So it makes them pliable and vulnerable to anything that comes their way. They are weak to any and every kind of influence that may come their way. It's the idea, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This is them. They are gullible and easily convinced. But they won't remain there forever. Eventually they'll commit to folly or wisdom. At this point they're uncommitted. So wisdom is crying out, hey simple ones, listen, you need to understand prudence. The word prudence means skill and carefulness for life. People who have a tendency to be naive and gullible in life just kind of take life as it comes with no sense of direction and purpose. Prudence is the opposite. It's having the skill to navigate through life and the carefulness to avoid pitfalls that come in life's way. We learn that from chapter 7 as the seductress tried to find who they can dupe and deceive, and they look among the group, the simple ones. The naive, the gullible, the easily to be won over. The beautiful thing is, wisdom can make the gullible see and avoid the pitfalls of life if they seek and heed wisdom's voice. Psalm 19, verse 7, we all know it. Rarely have we put it in the context of what we're doing in this morning in this passage. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You got this simpleton, this naive, uncommitted person, the word of God will help them become wise. That's what the Word of God can do. And in the process of becoming wise, what is inherently built into it is living a life of prudence, where you're living skillfully and carefully and taking life seriously with a sense of purpose and direction, and not just kind of going with the flow. The next one is the word fool. That word speaks of throughout Proverbs. This particular fool is the one who is arrogant, thick-headed, and stubborn. One of the things that distinctively marked them out is they are not stupid. They're not intellectually deficient, as one commentator said, but morally and spiritually, they are incompetent and clueless. They call good evil and evil good. They are confused. The Bible in Romans 1 said they are of a reprobate mind. They see it in a twisted way, because they're always doing it from their vantage point, at them being the center and the throne, when It is God and God alone. That's why right at the beginning of Proverbs and throughout Proverbs, the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. This fool may be smart, but morally speaking, not so. But I want you to notice what it says here. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. One translation uses the phrase, have a heart for wisdom. The idea here is to set your heart on wisdom. Now let's remember what we've learned throughout our study in Proverbs as well as any other time we deal with the word heart in the Old Testament from a standpoint of Hebrew. And the Hebrew understanding of the word heart, it is represented by the mind, the will, and the affection. It is the intellect. It is the volition, choosing of a person and their emotions and feelings. In other words, it is the whole person. It's not, when it says heart, it's not talking about that muscle that pumps blood. It's talking about the person that in the Hebrew understanding of it, what it's talking about, all that makes the person, how they think, how they choose, and how they feel. So the challenge by wisdom here, fools, have a understanding heart. The idea here is to have a heart of wisdom. It is the call to put the whole of one's life in the pursuit of wisdom. Have your mind and your choices and your affection be in line with wisdom's path. The understanding path in the pursuit of wisdom. So clearly in these first five verses, which summarizes point number one, of wisdom crying out, who he's crying out, and what the purpose is. Next, we're going to hear Lady Wisdom's exhortation to listen and why. Point number two, eight qualities of wisdom's words. In verses 6-9, I'm going to go ahead and read all those, and then we're going to break them down. First thing, Lady Wisdom said, listen. Why? For I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth, wickedness and an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. So the first thing we see here is the word listen. It is the command to hear with the intent to obey. Pay attention and listen. Here we have, afterward, the eight motivations of why we ought to listen to Lady Wisdom. First thing is she speaks of excellent things. Not dark things. Not wicked thing, not perverse thing, excellent thing. The word excellent has also been translated the word noble, decent, and honorable. It speaks of what is the of utmost importance in life. Not talking about vanity, not talking about worthlessness, not talking about ecclesiastic where you're constantly grasping for air. Vanity, vanity, vexation of the spirit. When you pursue the things of this world and everything under the sun only with no reference point of beyond the sun of God, the creator of heaven and earth. It speaks of what is utmost important in life and deserves our highest respect, attention, and obedience. Wisdom should be listened to because she speaks good things, noble things, things that are important. Not vain. So when she speaks, she's giving you something solid. It obviously flows from the Word of God. Notice the next one. Opening of my lips comes right thing. The word right thing, dear, the idea of things that are straight, upright, and just. I'm not going to do speak anything that deceptive, that's off the mark. Nick, verse 7, for my mouth will speak truth. She uttered truth and nothing but the truth. It's interesting when we read Psalm 51, the great confession chapter of David, in the midst of the height of his confession before Almighty God of his horrible sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, he said these words in verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. God wanted to know the truth and live the truth and embrace the truth inward and out. But it goes on and says this, and in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Did you catch the connection? When you have truth on the inward part of your body or your being, your life, your soul, the driving force, it will guide you in the way of wisdom. You will come to know wisdom when truth reigns supremely inside. So the idea here is wisdom is crying out to listen because I speak of excellent and noble things. I speak of right things. I speak the truth. Now here's the negative aspect that you will never hear from wisdom. Second half of verse 7. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. You will never hear wisdom declaring, saying, uttering, thinking, pondering, reflecting, anything wicked. It is the opposite of the truth. It is condemned because the actions of any form of wicked action are evil and unjust, not only before God, but towards others. But here's something I want to call your attention to that I thought was unique. In my study, I found out that this phrase, an abomination to my lips, was very unusual. Most of the time, we are accustomed to hearing the phrase abomination to the Lord. But what did he mean by the idea of an abomination to my lips? It's the idea that wisdom will only speak the truth and will absolutely not ponder or contemplate anything wicked. You don't have to worry about wisdom misleading you. Because she had truth and she abhors and abominates wickedness. So you won't have anything wicked coming off of her lips, but you will have truth, truth, and more truth of reality. So that's the idea there. Also, the next verse, verse 8, all the words of my mouth are with righteousness. The idea of righteousness there to speak to the ethical or moral standard that conform to God's character. We live in a world that, hey, I set the ethical and moral rules according to me, according to the majority. No, God is the standard. Righteousness is the standard. And that's where wisdom said, I will always speak righteousness. I will always speak God's standard. I'll speak to the truth of that issue. It won't be politically correct, doesn't matter. It may cost you a job, doesn't matter. It may cost you some friends, doesn't matter. It is the way of truth and righteousness. And we need to understand that. And we need to be grounded in the path of wisdom and let wisdom speak to us, and may we heed and follow her and obey her. Then we have a second negative found in the second half of verse 8. Nothing crooked or perverse in them. The idea there is that wisdom never says anything contrary to God's original purpose and design. When God speaks of something, when God had ordained something, whatever it may be, we've already dealt with some stuff. The world had turned it upside down. The world always turned it upside down because of their rebellion and hostility to God in their heart. They may intentionally or unintentionally do it, consciously or unconsciously do it. Doesn't matter. They do it. The wicked always suppress the truth. And it's important for us to understand that there will be coming from the lips of Lady Wisdom nothing crooked or perverse. God, Lady Wisdom will always point you to what God's purpose and design for anything He discussed in this book of Proverbs. Well, the rest of the Bible. But specifically, the book of Proverbs was given to guide us in the path of wisdom and all of the topics that are dealt with here, which we're just about done with the expositional part, which usually ends at chapter 9, chapter 10 to the end of the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. I counted yesterday, chapter 10 to 31, there are 679 verses, and I'm going to try to categorize every one of those into topics and find out what did the proverb teach it about this. It was important enough to be brought up at the topic, and this is the fool does this, the wise man does this. The fool does this, the wise man does this on this topic, or that topic, this topic, or that topic. We're going to try to cover them all. But the point is, as we work our way to it, in the midst of this wisdom, wisdom will never tell us anything contrary to God's purpose and design. That's why He said, nothing crooked or perverse is in them. Here's something unique. Verse 9. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Here it is right. The word right is the idea of the word upright and correct according to God's moral order. If you remember clear back in chapter 2, the first four verses list 8 verbs. In fact, let's look at that briefly. Chapter 2 of Proverbs. Clearly, this will explain the state of this person. Apparently, there is this group of people who see it. It's plain to them. It's clear. It's not a problem because they understand. And why? Because they have sought knowledge and found it. How did that happen? It doesn't happen intuitionally. It doesn't happen, boom, it just strikes you. You need to do your part. And Proverbs 2 tells us that. Notice, follow along in verse 1. My son, if you receive my word and treasure my command within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yet, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure. When you do all those things, verse 5, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Why? Next verse. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is the shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice. He and preserves the way of His saints. Notice. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to the soul. So when we look at our passage in chapter 8, it presupposes this groundwork that was already established in chapter 2. There need to be an enormous amount of perseverance and sweat and work to know and understand. So we see here, he's making it clear that it will be clear if you pursue wisdom, if you heed wisdom's voice, if you listen with the intent to obey wisdom. It is plain or straight or right to the one who's right before God, and they will understand from His word, and because wisdom has taught them what is best ethically and morally for society. We live in a world that wants to turn upside down every moral law in our country and worldwide. That's always been a problem, because sinners love their sin and don't like to be told they're wrong. They don't like the idea and the feeling that comes with guilt and conviction, when in reality it was a gift to turn them to the Lord and point them to the Lord. But they don't want to hear that because they don't want the Lord. That's why they rather suppress it than heed it. Then it said it's right to those who find knowledge. They know it's the truth. They know it's right. It is upright and correct according to God's moral order. I like what John Kitchen said this. Listen carefully. Quote, "The ways of wisdom may not appear so wide to the uninitiated and unbelieving, but to the one who trusts in the revelation of God imparted by the Holy Spirit to the heart, the virtue of wisdom becomes obvious." When you clearly are taught of God through His Word, by His Spirit, it's almost like the scales come off and you say, "I see it now." How come nobody else sees it? Because there's spiritually discerned issues. The natural man can. The believer with the Holy Spirit and the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit can come and understand the truth. Even when the Jews came to our Lord Jesus Christ about His own teaching, they questioned it. He always said, "I'm of God. I'm teaching what the Father had told me to teach." And they posed this question, "How can we know what you're teaching is from God?" Here is the answer. You want to write that down. John 7:17. Very important verse. Jesus answered their question with these words, "If anyone wants to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." I'll read it again. John 7:17. "If anyone wants to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority." In other words, if anyone willing to do His will, they will know. They will know. If not, "Lord, I'll believe in you when I understand." And the Lord said, it doesn't work that way. You, by faith, need to take my word, and I will reveal it to you as you step out in faith. If you're willing to do His will, most people don't. "I'm not going to do anything until I fully understand and it makes sense." No, by faith, you have to accept God, what He said. That's why it says in Hebrew, "By faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So the first thing we need to do is to bow in submission and trust God. Then and only then does He give deeper insight into the inherent wisdom of His ways. You know what's interesting? When you go through this list we just went through in verses 6 through 9 and you break up those 8, not all of them, not entirely, but they should have given you a feeling of another passage of Scripture. Philippians 4:8. Many of the things in Philippians 4:8 is right here in our passage, which read, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Purely positive, asserting that which is wholesome, holy, right, and just. Now the focus shifts from wisdom's flawless speech to her priceless reward. Look at point number 3, where it said, "Choose wisdom over any desirable thing." Verse 10, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." Man, this is a tough order, because everybody thinks it's all about money. Making money, get as much as you can, get as secure financially as you can, and do everything you can to get that. to get that net egg. First thing he said here, he commanded them to receive wisdom instruction, my instruction. The word receive is a command. It means when you do a word study on that particular word, it means to fetch, to take, or to seize something. It is the idea of going after wisdom with the idea of securing it and seizing it. It's not the idea of passively receiving it, thank you. It's the idea of actively taking and seizing it. Wisdom is calling out, go after it. Go after it. That's what Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 talked about. Those eight verbs, do this, do this, do this, do this. Then you'll know. I will give it to you then. What did he want you to receive? Two things, instruction and knowledge above silver and gold. The word instruction, we have talked about this word already several times, but it bears repeating again because it is used 30 times in Proverbs. This word instruction describes learning through discipline or correction. This is not instruction where you just sit here in a classroom and you listen to a lecture and you fill in the blank or answer the... No, it is the idea that you learn through being corrected when you did it wrong. It is the idea of learning and learning to understand to, in that spirit and in that moment to be teachable. Because it says elsewhere that correction is the way of life for the righteous. Because we're constantly messing things up according to the Word of God. Don't get put out or upset or discouraged. Get back up and carry on. Follow wisdom's path. Be thankful that you're being corrected. Now you can get back on the path. That's the idea. Receive or take my instruction. Seize my instruction. When I correct you, embrace it. Chapter 1, where the fools, scoffers, and the naive one, they dismissed it. Don't want it. They aptly despised it. We don't want to be there. Here it says also to receive knowledge. The word knowledge is used 39 times in Proverbs. This word, this Hebrew word, it is a word that means gaining and gathering information through your senses. So here we need to seek and seize wisdom's instruction and knowledge rather than silver and choice gold. Now notice the word choice gold, not silver and gold, but silver and choice gold. So choice gold is refined gold where all the dross is taken out. So it's much more valuable. It's gold at its best, been purified. So he's really hitting on something. Even the precious refined gold, wisdom's instruction and knowledge is better than that. That's why he said, receive my instruction, my correction, and not silver. If you had a shoot, take my wisdom. If you had a pick and shoot, but we don't always do that. We always kind of, well, I'll have time later to get that. I need to get money now because that's how I get ahead. That's thinking like a worldly man. Thinking like a worldly person, living for only the here and now. This is who wisdom is calling out. He's calling to all of us to follow his path. Or in using the correct liturgy of being, literary way of being used here, her path. But let me say this, though I have stressed what the text says, the scripture does not condemn wealth. Does not condemn wealth. Listen carefully what I'm about to say. This is an important part of wisdom's gift and reward to those who love her and embrace her. Hear me out. Bruce Waltke said it this way, quote, when material wealth is the reward of wisdom, it edifies, it builds up. But when it is made life pursuit, it corrupts. When you make it your whole mission in life to make money, you have now corrupted yourself. instead of pursuing with them and wisdom, said, I will see that you are blessed. And we'll see that tonight in detail. How do I know that? Because we have a very clear passage in the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Listen carefully. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of many, money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When you make it your passion, I'm tired of being poor and I'm tired of not wanting, getting what I want, and it's all about things, the material things and earth and worldly stuff, that's not important. Jesus said that life does not consist of the abundance of the things we possess. It is he who does the will of God that is immensely blessed. That's why Matthew, our Lord, said in chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What? The basic necessities of life. But even when we go through Proverbs, the rest of this, more of the chapter tonight, we're going to clearly see, my goodness, if I follow wisdom paths and take wisdom direction and hear her voice and obey her voice, I'm going to be blessed because she will not mislead me. It is the path that leads to life, blessedness, prosperity. But that's not what we live for. Because the beginning of wisdom is what? Fear of the Lord. Not seeking how I can make as much as I can in a short amount of time as possible. So beloved, at the end of the day, we must by faith take God at his word and seek and take and desire wisdom more than anything in this world. And that required honest self-examination in our life. The question is, if God came to you and said, give me everything you have and all I want to give you is myself, how would you respond? But Lord, I've worked all these years. The question was, let it all go and you have me. That's not easy for any of us, period. Let's be honest. But that's what it means to love the Lord thy God over everything. That's why we learned earlier in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct. When you don't acknowledge him and you don't seek him, direction doesn't come. You don't follow wisdom's path to have the good life. You follow wisdom's path because it glorifies and honors the God who gives wisdom. And in that, in turn, he will bless you with a good life. That's where it begins. That's where most people make the mistake. Even Christians, and Proverbs helped us with that. But it doesn't end there. Look at verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. My goodness. One of my greatest and most favorite studies, and I'm still debating whether I'm going to do it while we're in this series, is that little phrase, better than. That phrase was used 21 times in Proverbs, constantly showing you the juxtaposition that this is better than that, this is better than that. And in almost every case, it is counterintuitive how we think. How in the world can wisdom be better than money? How can this be better than that? Here lies the crux, folks. You're either going to take God at his word when he says that, or you're going to dismiss it and regret the path you'll take, charting your own course on that particular subject. But here he said, for wisdom is better than rubies. The idea there is one of the most precious gems of the day. I mean, you can fill in the blank. Better than diamond, better than, your gem of choice, I guess. Sapphire, ruby, emerald, whatever. The good one. And if I'm missing any, I'm sorry because I don't know my gems. But the point is anything you could possibly desire, it's not to even be compared to her. Nothing. Nothing. We even heard this back in chapter 3, verse 15. She is more precious than ruby, and all the things you may desire cannot be compared to her. Same thing. The idea here is wisdom is priceless. It is more precious and desirable than anything else. When you're willing to push away from the pursuit that Mr. Worldly Wise Man and Woman pursued and seek wisdom, watch God bless you. But do it because you love God and this is the path that's right, good, and holy. Anything one could possibly desire. Think for a moment. What is the one thing you desire more than anything else? And God can put her wisdom right next to that and say, no comparison. No comparison. We're talking rocks and diamonds here. John Kitchen said that better than your wildest dream is the wisdom necessary to live skillfully and successfully in God's world. Nothing can compare with her. Nothing. So, beloved, like we learned earlier, in all you're getting, get wisdom. Seek wisdom. Pursue wisdom. It's all rooted in the fear of God, and watch Him immensely bless you. We'll get to the details of that tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the exhortation of the marvelous motivation to hear the Lady Wisdom call out and cry out and lifting up her voice everywhere and every place to everyone. Dear God, may we do what we need to do first and foremost. Listen. Listen with the intent to follow her way, her path, her advice, her instruction, her correction, her reproof. Oh God, everything she says is excellent, noble, right, righteousness, truth. And there is nothing that defiles wicked or crooked in her speech. Unlike the deceiver in Proverbs 7. And the ultimate deceiver in Satan, who constantly lies and deceives you to get you to bite. And the way in the end is death and pain and sorrow and serious regrets and grief. God put into our heart, every one of us this morning, from the youngest to the oldest, a kin, passionate desire for wisdom, to hear her voice through the Word of God, to listen to people who can share God's will for them and for all of us in life. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name.